You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Hi, this is Your Financial Choices. Your host, Lori Siebert, is on her way in. This is Judy Ann. I'm the one that Lori always talks about answering your calls. So she will be in tonight to answer your calls. I just wanted to talk a little bit about our website, yourfinancialchoices.com, where you can always submit questions to Lori through the Contact Lori link, or there's a link on the homepage that says Submit Questions. So take a look at that and definitely submit your questions. I'll be looking for those as they come in tonight. Or you can call her live on the air at 610-758-8810. And it looks like Lori's here, so I'm going to hand it over to her.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Judy Ann. Woo! Welcome to the show, folks. It is April 16th. Thank God, April 15th is done. I'm like a new person today. And it's a beautiful day to celebrate, so I had a nice, relaxing day today. I appreciate all of the listeners with me during tax season. It was a lot of fun for me. I love answering tax questions, so that's always a great topic at that time of year. We're moving on to different things. If you do have tax questions, you actually still could call me. I suppose some people probably are late. I left my tax reference guide in the car, though, so I could run faster. It's all in my head, right? But I thought I would start talking tonight about some cash flow, which is one of the elements of financial planning. So let me first slow down a little bit and start with saying good evening. I heard Wagner, as I was driving in, say thank you for the drive. Apparently we made our goal, so I'm very excited about that. So I want to thank the listeners, in particular the Your Financial Choice listeners, for calling in and helping us meet that goal and help try to make my challenge work. So if you are a listener and you weren't able to pledge at that time, it doesn't mean you can't still become a member of WDIY, and you can get more information on that at wdiy.org. And as Judy Ann had mentioned, if you do have questions, and in particular, sometimes folks have questions that are a little bit more complicated and they don't want to talk about it on the radio, you can email those questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. I didn't even have a chance to check the markets today. Jeff says they were up, so there you go. They were up. Last week, we did do the pledge drive, but we also talked about, I don't even know what I talked about last week. It's terrible. I don't we took some tax questions and things. But tonight, we are talking about cash flow. I like talking about the elements of financial planning. I think that's what I talked about, the elements of financial planning and how they apply at different stages in your life. So I thought what I would do this week is pull out one of those elements of financial planning. So basically, the elements of financial planning are cash flow, retirement, investments, taxes, risk management, and estate planning. So I thought I'll pull one out, and that is cash flow, cash planning, budgeting, whatever you want to talk about. But it's probably the crux upon which a lot of the other financial planning elements lay. So you want to make sure you understand your cash flow and get a handle on it, because it is what will kind of support you as we go through, as well as the most important asset, yourself. You're taking care of your health, taking care of your gifts and how you work and how you build your life and that type of thing. So we're going to go over that, and I'm going to share some insights from Warren Buffett from a video that I just was watching as we go through the show. So As I catch my breath here again, I apologize for having to run in. I ran all the way up the stairs, so I'm still trying to catch my breath and catch my bearings. Part of doing live radio, I guess. So we are live. If you do have questions this evening, you can call in at 610-758-8810. And I'm not sure if Judy Ann even had the chance to introduce me. So my name is Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a CFP and an accredited estate planner. I like to make sure I mention that because I am a member of the National Association of Estate Planning Councils and the Estate Planning Council of Lehigh Valley. And we do like to promote estate planning for everyone because it's probably one of the most overlooked pieces of our financial elements. So we're going to talk about anything financial on the show, your financial choices. And Jeff did just pull up the numbers for me. So the Dow was up 16,425. Well, I'm rounding 16,424. The NASDAQ of 4,086 and the S&P was 1,862. So thank you, Jeff, for that. So let's talk about cash flow planning. So little ways that you can make a difference in your cash flow that will help you start accumulating some money that you have positive cash flow. But I want to share some of these comments, I guess, observations maybe that Warren Buffett made at a presentation he was doing to high school students in Nebraska. And I think it was back maybe in May of 2013. I didn't quite look at the date. I think it was May of 2013. You can just Google Warren Buffett talk Nebraska and it comes up. And I just happened upon it when I was looking up ideas for cash flow. And he had said, first let me backtrack, you know, everyone looks to Warren Buffett as, you know, the epitome of investing. And he has the best stats, the best returns, everything in his selection. And there's even books written on his strategies. And it's usually we think of him in stocks and bonds. But, you know, maybe he's just a Midwest guy who has great common sense. So let's see what other great advice he has, and not even about stocks and bonds, but just about general guidelines. Basically, he says, if you can't pay for it, don't buy it. So that's one of our first strategies in smart cash flow planning. If you can't pay for it, don't buy it. We forget nowadays, with everything being with plastic, with our debit cards and our credit cards, we forget in the old days, when most of us had to use cash, we couldn't buy it because we had no credit cards, no debit cards. So we only could pay for it if we had cash. I remember robbing the piggy bank. You know, we'd take a knife. We had a can that my dad covered with contact paper. Everybody remember contact paper back in the days? We would take old coffee cans juice cans, wrap them up with coffee, contact paper, make them look pretty, cut a hole in the top, and put money in. And then my mother would be at work and we would need milk or something. We'd call Mom, we need milk. And she'd say, get the money out of the can. But the thing was, you couldn't open the can. So we had to take a knife and to slip the knife in and out of this little like slit in the top of the can where we put coins. And that started when my father quit smoking. And my father quit smoking after he had a heart attack. So he had a heart attack, stopped smoking. And back then, also, everybody smoked. So saved a lot of money that way. They bought carpet. We did lots of things once my father stopped smoking. So that could be a second little clue for your cash flow planning. If you are a smoker or have one of those habits, like buying that latte every morning, try to get over the habit. I had mentioned one week my brother-in-law stopped smoking. I had been telling him to stop smoking for years. He was able to stop. I think he used some medicine, but it made a difference. So he got the medicine, stopped smoking, and it completely turned his financial life around. Completely turned his financial life around. So lots of good tips tonight. I have more to share from Warren Buffett. When we come back, we have our first break. And if you have questions again, phone number 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Wagner Previato, Executive Director at WDIY. On behalf of our staff and volunteers, I want to thank all of you who made a donation during our spring pledge drive. Thanks to your gift, we made our goal. Your financial support is what keeps WDIY on the air. Thank you very much for all your support.
And we are back. Wagner's voice is so calm. I mean, I would be saying, yay! Thank you for your support. That doesn't sound like public radio very much, but I try. Folks, welcome to Your Financial Choices. You're listening to your host, Lori Siebert. Thank you for being here. It's a lovely, lovely evening. And we are talking about cash flow planning. And I had watched a video this afternoon before I came in, and it happened to be at Warren Buffett. In fact, I'm going to tell my son to watch it. It's about an hour long. It was when Warren Buffett was talking in Nebraska, I believe, to high school students. It seemed like many of the students in the audience who were asking questions were all from local high schools. It might have been at a college, too, but he gave some great tips. The first one was, if you can't pay for it, don't buy it. And, I did know that the video was entitled How to Stay Out of Debt, and that was on YouTube, How to Stay Out of Debt. He also said your best financial future is your own abilities, always being ahead of the game, save no matter what, having anything so that you are ahead of the game so that you are not behind the game. This is what he was saying. So even save a little bit is better than nothing. And he gave an example of how he was working through college and he saved and saved and he had paper routes and things like that, that he actually came out of college with $10,000. And he said, you know, it probably doesn't sound like a lot now, but it probably meant a lot to him back then. So having something is better than not, and that helps you stay ahead of the game. He also said, just don't have debt. He said, don't buy a whole lot of things that you're going to pay 20% to have. Incur as little debt as possible and pay it off as fast as you can. And in particular, because he was talking to students, he said there's very little difference between a very high price education and a lower price education. He attended, I believe, both, is it the University of Nebraska and Wharton? And he said, well, you can get a fine education at Wharton. He also got a very fine education at Nebraska. And that you should think about what debt is going to cost you and how you're going to pay it back before you incur it. So take some time to do that. He also had said some other things about understanding, you know, your abilities, but also understanding what makes people happy. And you can be just as happy in a small house as a big house, and probably with fewer problems. And the most important course you're going to take in business is accounting. I had to write that down because I was very excited about that, because when I was in college and I was pursuing an education degree so that I could be a teacher, when I realized there weren't going to be any jobs in education at the time, which, you know, we're running into right now as well, I switched course and went into business. And that's when I realized at that time, I thought, you know what, you can do so much with accounting, and I need to make sure that I can have a job, because I was always a very hard worker and I wanted to make sure I would have a job. And I thought, you know what, accounting applies to everything. So that's why I went into accounting. So I appreciated his comment that he said that was one of the most important courses you could take in business. In fact, that's what I majored in. So you want to think about how you're going to handle debt. You want to think about cash flow. He says it's better just not to have debt. So those are just some comments and observations I thought I would share. I think it's worthwhile going and watching the video. I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, but I think it's certainly could be powerful and helpful to a lot of people. And at any age, he was so dynamic, even talking with young people, very understandable, very straightforward. And I love the common sense that he seems to have. So that video is How to Stay Out of Debt. So we're talking about cash flow tonight, cash flow being one of the elements of financial planning. And I think that one of the most important things you can do when you think about cash flow is, what is going to be your motivation? How can you motivate yourself to save money? And by the way, when you do look up cash flow, when I was, again, getting ideas for the show and I Googled cash flow, everything for cash flow that came up was all around businesses. It was, you know, your small business, your business, entrepreneurs, all talking about how businesses manage cash flow. Well, what do we call it for us as individuals? We're just, you know, we work, we don't have a business, we are employees. Why isn't that called cash flow? It's called budgeting. And the trouble I find with budgeting is people don't want to budget. So let's not call it budgeting anymore. Let's call it cash flow, because that's what it is. Budgeting is just too hard of a word. Some people aren't disciplined enough. In fact, I would say probably less than 5% of the people are disciplined enough in their cash flow. You might even say less than 5%. I'm just going off the top of my head. I think people try to manage it, but being disciplined about it could be very different. I also don't want to steer people into thinking that they have to be so frugal that they don't live their lives. I've seen too many people not live full lives, worrying about money. I don't think the money should control you. But I also believe that you should feel empowered in your decisions and in your cash flow planning, that you're making decisions that will eventually contribute to your financial future, your financial goals, and still live, you know, a good, full, rich life while you're getting yourself there. So let's talk about motivation. Let's talk about goals. I'm amazed to find sometimes that people are surprised that when it's time to retire, they don't have any money, or they're surprised when, you know, it's time to go to college and they realize it's going to cost something and they hadn't thought about it ahead of time. If you have goals, then it shouldn't be a surprise. And let me give you a little analogy to this. I was actually interviewed for an article for the Wall Street Journal online version. And the woman, the reporter, had called and was asking about big tax bills that people were having and how were people going to pay for the big tax bills because some of the tax law changes and everything. And I had said, well, if people, at least our clients, if they had big tax bills, for the most part, they were prepared for that because we knew it was going to happen. Because we do some forecasting, you do some planning, you plan ahead, you know it's going to happen. And you have the money then when all of a sudden you owe the tax, you have the money because you knew it was coming. And there are cases where, you know, maybe we didn't get that planning done for clients, or they didn't let us know various things happened in their life. I've had some clients that, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you that we did the stock options, or we forgot to tell you we got that big check for, you know, XYZ. Well, whoops, then I'm surprised when they owe money. But of course, sometimes those same people had planned for it and they have the money set aside. And I'm amazed when they go to write a check for, you know, $15,000 or $7,000 that they have the money. And it's like, wow, you have the money. Well, yes, because we knew it was going to happen. Remember? Yes, that's right. We knew it was going to happen. So we have goals, but it's also about planning, knowing what's happening. So if you have something that you know will be outside your normal budgeting means, you plan for it, you set a goal, you say, I want to take a special trip, a special vacation, I have college for the kids. What's the goal? Let's identify what it is, and then we can plan around that, figure out ways to start saving for it, and then measure that success as we're going. Are we going to meet our goals? What do we need to shift? What do we need to tweak here and there to make sure that we're going to meet our goal? So we're going to talk about a couple little strategies for cash flow planning, as I'll say, and we'll continue our discussion about this. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition, traces its many patterns and designs. music handed down from generation to generation. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And we are back. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. It's a lovely evening. Thank you for those who are listening tonight. Beautiful night. We're through tax season. I'm so happy. I have been very focused for a very long time. I was up until, Tuesday morning. I was up until 4:30 in the morning working on tax returns. I slept for 2.5 hours. And then got back at it again on April 15th. I wanted to make sure that everything I had promised that I got could get done. We had to put some people on extension, but those were, for the most part, the people who came in the day before. So for folks who did go on extension, unless there's some reason you can't file yet, maybe you still don't have all your information, don't wait any longer. Go ahead and get your return done. Just get that off your back so you don't have it hanging over your head. Get your tax return taken care of. And for those folks who owed a lot of money, I certainly hope that you're set up for estimated tax payments. Or if you have promised to change your withholdings to make sure that your taxes are covered through your, whether it's your employer withholding or through withholding on your IRAs or pensions or Social Security, you can have withholdings on your Social Security. A lot of people don't realize that or don't know that. I have a very small group of people who have withholdings on their Social Security, but it's a great way to make sure that your taxes are covered. You shouldn't have a surprise at the end of the year to find out you owe money. It's amazing to me that some people are surprised when they have lots of interest and dividends and capital gains, and then they take money out of their retirement accounts, and then they're surprised they owe taxes. So make sure that you have yourself covered for that. If you're one of those people who said, yes, I'll change my withholdings to get myself covered, then make sure you go into HR, ask for the form W-4, and change your withholding status. A lot of times people get surprised, you know, wait, my employer withheld taxes. Why do I have to pay more? They don't realize that their employer is withholding tax, not based on their income tax situation, but based on their employer withholding tables, which has nothing to do with your personal situation. And when you take the salary, if you're married and you take the salary of one spouse, add it to the salary of another spouse, chances are you're in a higher tax bracket than your employer may realize just looking at your earnings and the table that they have to pay the tax on. They don't realize added together, you're in a higher bracket. You can't expect them to know that. So sometimes you have to change your withholding by changing your filing status, maybe from married filing joint to withhold at the higher single rate. If you're a single person and your employer never seems to withhold enough because maybe you have more than one job, maybe you have three jobs. Well, again, each employer will not know your situation. You may have to tell one employer, please withhold W-4, you fill out, you say single, zero, and maybe withhold an extra $25 or an extra $50 a paycheck to make sure your taxes are covered. That, again, is part of cash flow planning. With withholdings, the IRS deems your taxes to be paid evenly throughout the year, whereas quarterly payments or paying at the end of the year, that's not deemed to be done evenly. So if you miss a payment or you don't make a payment till late, you could incur penalties. Again, withholdings will cover that, and the withholdings, even if you do it later in the year, will be deemed to have been made earlier evenly throughout the year. So part of our discussion tonight about cash flow planning is making sure that you understand how that works for you. What kind of expenses do you have? What goals do you have? What are you saving for? It shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise when we go to file our taxes, or a surprise when we go to pay for school, or a surprise when we, you know, go to finance something. We want to make sure we understand everything. Warren Buffett's advice is don't take on any debt. Make sure that you always have something a little ahead. That makes sense, of course. But if you do have to have debt, you have to have a plan for how you're going to get rid of that beforehand. So my daughter, for example, my oldest daughter, came through college, got through college with no debt. Thank you to mom and dad. So she had no debt coming out of college, but she's in a master's program right now. She's at the University of Chicago, and she's having to pay for her living expenses. They gave her a scholarship, which covered a lot, but she still has quite a chunk of debt that she had to take in order to have her apartment and pay for food and some incidentals. So she has to have a plan for how to take care of that debt when she comes out of school. So she also was married in August. So part of their plan, her and her husband's, is that she will work and all of her income will go toward paying her student loan. I'm hoping that they would have that paid within four or five years is the goal. So doing that at their young age, both of them were very fortunate to come out of their undergraduate degree without any debt. So fortunate for them. I think even still with the debt that she will have from her grad school experience, they still will be able to pay that off fairly quickly. And it makes a difference to be in front of that, ahead of that. And I told her especially, too, that of the loan that she took, if she doesn't have to use it all, she should act like she doesn't, she should live like very frugally so that she doesn't have to use the whole loan such that when she goes to pay it back, she'll have money left over that she can just pay it off, right, you know, pay toward it right away. So understand what your debts are ahead of time and what they're going to cost you. Now, some people also seem to have difficulty managing cash flow. Again, the bad word is budgeting. And we've talked about different ways of managing cash flow on prior shows. One of the ways I had have indicated in the past was if you can't seem to budget or have an kind of a menu of, you know, the money coming in, the money going out. What you can do is make sure that you at least plan for the discretionary spending. That's what you can control. And if you go about your daily life, think about what you're doing every day, what discretionary spending you had. Well, let me tell you, I've been in an office for like 8 weeks. Working sun up to sundown for 8 weeks, haven't been out, haven't shopped, have ignored all the emails, all the text I get from the Bonton and everything. I've ignored it all. I haven't shopped at all. Well, today I went out to lunch with a very good friend. I was so happy. And we went over to the Promenade Shops at Barnes & Noble. And I have to tell you, I spent a lot of money on some books. So I'm really looking forward to looking at these books. I bought a book for my mother. I bought a couple books for myself. I bought a couple books for my husband. And love books. That was discretionary spending. That was discretionary spending. But I said to myself, I haven't spent a penny for 2 months that I can reward myself a little bit. This was my reward for today. So you want to make sure that you're watching how you're spending, plan for it, don't overdo it, but still live life a little bit. That's what I want people to pay attention to. You got to be smart about what you're doing, but you also have to take care of yourself, live a little bit. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some ways to help people who can't seem to find ways to do that, to try to simplify it a little bit. People who are tech savvy and people who aren't. We'll try to do a simple method and a little bit more sophisticated method and see if that helps a little bit. We'll be back in just a few seconds. If you have a question, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about one of the elements of financial planning this evening. Of the elements, they are risk management, retirement planning, investment management, taxes. Cash flow is one of them. So six elements. Cash flow is one of them, and that is what we are talking about this evening, ways to help you manage your cash flow. I prefer that than budgeting. So one of the simple methods we talk about is something called the funnel method. And it helps people control their cash flow without having to like detail every little expense necessarily. You have to do a little bit of this understanding how you're spending. We'll call that part, you know, I wish I had a better word than budgeting. So you have to understand a little bit about what you're spending, even to implement the cash flow method. But I think it's an easy method once you implement. So you figure out how much you're spending regularly every month. So if you find that you spend, you know, $2,000 a month on your expenses, including the discretionary spending. So the non-discretionary and discretionary, you be real with the numbers, figure it out really well. $2,000 doesn't sound like a lot. That's just my example. So let's say you spend $2,000 a month. Then what you would do is you would have all of your money sources, like your paycheck, maybe your pension check or Social Security, whatever your money sources are, you have them deposited directly into a savings account or a money market account, some account that might give you some smidgen of interest. And once a month, you transfer to your checking account that amount of cash flow spending you have. So in my example of $2,000, let's pretend you make $2,500 a month take home. You'd have your $2,500 a month go into your savings account. And then once a month, you would transfer $2,000 over to your checking account. You write your checks for the month. And if at the end of the month, you are short and you have to transfer more money from your savings, that means you spent more than what you thought you were spending. Okay, so if you think you spend $2,000 a month, you transfer $2,000 to your checking, and it wasn't enough, it means you're spending more than $2,000. You have to pull back. You have to say, oops, I spent more than I should have. I'm not going to be able to meet my goals this way. I'm not going to be able to save if I keep spending more than what I think I'm spending. If you have money accumulate, then maybe you're doing a great job with managing your cash flow and you have extra money. So then you should transfer the extra money back to savings. Now you have to keep in mind that there are some expenses in our life that are not paid monthly. We have real estate taxes that sometimes are paid twice a year. Sometimes people pay their auto insurance quarterly. Sometimes we have insurance payments that might be semi-annually. Other bills might be annually. So you do have to recognize that sometimes it won't always work exactly like how you have planned. But what I would expect then is if you know that on average the expenses are $2,000 a month and you transfer $2,000 a month, one month it might be $1,800 and that extra $200, instead of transferring it back to your savings, let that extra that you didn't spend accumulate a little bit. And over 6 months, that accumulation will then meet your semi-annual payment or that quarterly payment. Okay, so that is kind of a simplified method of managing your cash flow without having to detail every little expense that you might have or keeping track of. If it's just going to overwhelm you so much, you're not going to do anything. So what you have to do is recognize your own abilities in meeting these goals and how can you make it work for you? Because some people are really good at doing Excel spreadsheets or, you know, keeping a logbook. Some people carry little booklets and write everything down. Some people are diligent about their checkbook. They know exactly what their balance is. They subtract when they write a check and add when they make a deposit. I'll tell you, I see a lot of people opening up their checkbooks to write checks, you know, at tax time. There are a lot of people who don't track their balances. So you have to find what's going to work for you to make it easy for you to start accumulating, get ahead of this. Remember what Warren Buffett had said. He said, you want to work on being ahead of the game, saving no matter what, rather than being behind the game. So this is a way, a little strategy, a simple strategy to try to get ahead of the game, understanding what you're spending, very easy to do, and try to accumulate something and save a little money. So that's called the funnel method. You put your all your resources into a money market or savings account, and then once a month you transfer to your checking the amount that you deem to be your monthly spending, and then you watch and see what happens in that account. Watch the ebb and flow of it. And if it ebbs and flows and evens out over the year, that's perfect. If you're constantly having to refill it, then you really need to revisit what you think you're spending, because you might be delusional because you think you're saving or not spending, and you think you're, you know, really frugal, and maybe you're not at all. So you want to make sure you get a handle on that. It's an easy way to get disciplined. Another way that people can save money and budget and set goals and things like that is using technology. So for the tech savvy people, I'm sure there are many resources. There just happens to be one that I had interviewed on the show probably a few years ago even, and it was called Mint.com. And Mint.com is a free internet service to help people understand what's going on with their money. And that's mint.com. And I'm just going to read from their website. It says Mint does all the work of organizing and categorizing your spending for you. You see where every dime goes and make money decisions that you'll feel good about. They have a secure sign up. You use your email, you set up a password. You can aggregate like all your accounts there, but it's not that you're actually like going into your accounts. It's called screen scraping that they do. I mean, that's probably not a term they tell you it's called, but I know that's what they're doing. They will take pictures of your balances, but you can't really go make any transactions on those accounts, but it will aggregate it so that in one website, you can see what your finances look like, and it helps you kind of develop an organization tool for your financial life. So you can set up cash flow, you can set up goals, you can look at your different accounts, you can set up categories of goals. So you can say, here's my vacation bucket, here is my education bucket, here's my new house bucket or my new car bucket. So you can help set up goals. It says that Mint automatically organizes your spending into categories like rent, gas, clothes, lattes, and shows you where your money goes in easy to understand charts. And you can also choose goals. You click on what you want to accomplish with your money. They give you simple steps along with free advice, gentle reminders, and encouragement. They say get and stick to a plan. It's easier to stick to a budget designed for your lifestyle, and Mint automatically creates one tailored just for you and keeps you on track with email and mobile alerts, bill reminders, and more. I think this would be an absolutely great tool, especially for young people who are tech savvy. And believe me, old people could be tech savvy as well. The reason I mention young people, though, is because if you start early developing these habits, as I've talked about last week, the idea of compounding this great advice and compounding your investments and compounding good habits Develop them now. And in fact, Warren Buffett said that in his presentation today, or in the video that I had watched. And it's so interesting to me because some of the things I had said at Lafayette College a couple Saturdays ago, or maybe it was a week and a half ago, I don't remember. I thought, gosh, people will think that I watched Warren Buffett before I did my speech, because I didn't. I just saw him today. But and it was about young people establishing good habits early and at the start of your career and making sure that you're making all these good decisions and doing smart things right from the beginning. Because once you start those good habits, they just keep getting better and better, and it's all good. So let's look at that. That's an idea. Mint.com, another way to track your money. They say, how should I track my personal spending? And this could apply probably even if you had to do it on paper. It doesn't have to be this tool. You can do it any number of ways. But they say the simplest way to track your spending, especially your cash, is the low-tech way with a notebook and pen. By carrying around the notebook with you, you can actually track exactly where every dollar is going, from a small coffee on your way to work to a spending splurge at the mall. And if you'd prefer, on a daily or a weekly basis, you can transfer your handwritten notes to a computer spreadsheet. Now, what I would say to that, too, is if people are too nervous about doing things on don't want to be bothered with doing things with pen and paper, if you say in the morning, I'm going to take $10 today for those incidentals, whether I get the coffee or, you know, the bagel or something like that, I'm going to take $10. Well, the motivational piece would be, I'm going to take $10. I have the power to spend this money if I choose to. But what if I don't? At the end of the day, I still have that $10. It's almost like you feel empowered, almost as if you earned the $10. Now, it doesn't mean you have $20 to spend tomorrow. You put the $10 away and say, guess what? I saved that money. Now that money goes into a bucket for saving. Put it in the can that you can't get the money out of, the can with the contact paper. Put the money in the can, can't take it out. I just saved $10. It's empowering. The next day, I have $10. I can choose to spend this today or not. Maybe you get the coffee. So the coffee is $1.50. All right, I'm going to have the coffee. Now I have $8.50 left at the end of the day. You put it in the can. You save it. At the end of the week, you could end up with, you know, maybe $50. $50. That could compound. We're going to save it again. We keep doing that every week. And that's another simple way, rather than the pencil and paper, if you don't want to be bothered with that, a very easy way to keep track of your spending is to say, I have $10 or $5 or whatever it is. And if at the end of the day you have it, consider it saved. Don't spend it. We did have a question. Terry from the website had said, can you provide the Warren Buffett video link? It is a great video. I'm going to go home and watch the rest of it. I got to watch about half of it in bits and pieces. And Terry, I think you can find that website by going on YouTube, and you can Google how to stay out of debt, Warren Buffett, Nebraska, and it should come up. And I think it would be good, especially for young people, to watch as well. You know, Jeff, think about this. The technology that is available for young people that we didn't have. Now, when we were younger, the power of technology and what's available to them and what they can learn and take the benefits of all of this information and apply it to their own lives, I am telling you, they will be exponentially better than us. They should be smarter than us. They should be smarter than us. So, and especially kids already think they're smarter than us. So we know better. We know that they're really not smarter than us unless they take advantage of the things that we're trying to help them learn. And we're sitting here, the studio is amidst this university environment. Lehigh is very near here. Many colleges in this area. And I certainly hope that parents who are listening tell their kids, go watch this Warren Buffett video. If he's one of the smartest guys making one of the best, you know, some of the best decisions out there, why not listen to some of his other basic advice? It's common sense, we think. But what is it going to take to get through to people to listen? So, Terry, thank you for the question. I hope that you find the link. If you do have questions, folks, you can call in or use the website. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and the website is yourfinancialchoices.com. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:46 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. We are talking about one of the elements of financial planning this evening, and that is cash flow planning. Again, cash flow planning, we hear usually talking about businesses, but I am saying we are going to empower all of Bethlehem and Easton and Phillipsburg and all the surrounding towns and areas. Salersburg. That's for Carolyn if she's listening tonight. Poconos. Anyone in our listening area. I want everyone to be empowered and get a hold of your cash flow planning. So simple methods, the funnel method, or using more tech-savvy strategies like Mint.com. Lots of information available there as well. For people who are really struggling and trying to get a hold of things, there are other resources available to you. And I have also had on the show with me folks from Money Management International. Their website is a little trickier to get to. It's not Money Management International. It is moneymanagement.org, I believe, moneymanagement.org. And that's for folks who are probably having a little bit more struggle with their budgeting, people who may need help with debt counseling. And that is a nonprofit organization. And it is moneymanagement.org. But the organization is called Money Management International, but you have to be careful because if you just Google or go on moneymanagementinternational.com or moneymanagement.com, it is not the nonprofit organization. It is moneymanagement.org. So that is for folks who maybe are struggling a little bit more, need a little bit more help, a little bit more handholding and strategies around debt management. For other folks, another method you could use is a worksheet that I made up many, many years ago for a presentation I did at Air Products, and I called it the Lifetime Planning Worksheet. And on that, it is Excel-based. I should probably update it. Judy Ann, please remind me to update that spreadsheet. It is Excel-based, but the idea there is to find one place, very simple, to use Excel. Some people get afraid of that because of, calculations in cells and stuff. You can't think of it like that. It's almost just like a worksheet. So it's very basic, where you can record all your assets, you can record your liabilities, you can record your investment accounts, more detailed. So you can record all the details of your assets, all the details of your liabilities. It also has a cash flow worksheet. So the cash flow worksheet lists, your income sources and then how you spend money. There is also a sheet for your insurance, all the different kinds of insurance. I like folks to have an inventory of their financial life because it's going to help you make better decisions, not just in your cash flow. It will help you in your cash flow decision making, but it will help you just in so many more decisions because in you having an understanding of your financial life, that is going to help empower you to make better financial decisions. It'll talk about what your debt is costing you. I think that's very important to know as well. The worksheets are on the homepage of a website called myretirementpro.com, and I will try to get them up on yourfinancialchoices.com as well. But on myretirementpro.com, we parked some of them there, and it's the lifetime planning worksheet. So hopefully that is still the Excel is still compatible with the newer version, because I realize I haven't updated that in a while. So I'll take a look at that as well. And that's, to me, it was a great worksheet. I just like making things simple. I think the more complicated we make things, the less likely people are to use them or do them or implement them. So let's try to keep it simple, folks, and then it's much, much easier to embrace and be proactive in taking care of things. So we talked about the funnel method. We talked about Mint.com. We talked about MyRetirementPro.com with the lifetime planning worksheet. A lot of people have asked for that, and it's been very helpful to a lot of people. I've not heard anyone say otherwise, so I hope that that does help people. So with that, you're also able to do something that every family should have, which is a financial report. That financial report kind of gives you a picture of where you are and a picture of your assets, your liabilities. Are you in the hole? Are you ahead of the game or behind the game, as Warren Buffett says? So the idea is to try to be ahead of the game. I don't know. I think I had alluded to this at the beginning of the show, where I had said that Warren Buffett had also said, you know, you have to recognize what makes you happy, that, you know, we all know what he's worth, you know, but at the same time, he said he's lived in the same house for 41 years and he could afford something with, you know, 50 rooms, but he's just as happy where he is, because he said if he lived in a home that had 50 rooms, he would have to worry about who's taking care of the rooms and who's taking care of the property and hiring people and firing people. And he said he's just as happy to just be home and where he lives. He drives a car that's 8 years old. If Warren Buffett can drive a car that's 8 years old, there's no reason to think that we need something that's new all the time. I know someone who feels they always have to have a new car, and every couple of years they just need to go exchange cars and get new cars. Personally, I love having old cars, because to me it's like cha-ching, 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 meaning I have money in my account every month that's not going toward buying a new car. So for folks who can hang on to cars for a long time, think about it. How much do cars cost? I mean, it could be half a mortgage payment. $500 a month some people pay for their cars. Crazy. So Warren Buffett says he's just as happy driving his car that's 8 years old. He's just as happy in his house that he's had for, since when did he buy it? Did he say he's had the house for 41 years, I think? Yeah. So think about what makes you happy and how you can save money. It's a conscious decision. Yes, we have impulsive instincts once in a while. We act on impulse. We buy a lot of books the day after tax season. You know, give yourself a break from that. It's just like dieting. Give yourself a break. If you fall off the wagon one day eating a candy bar when you know you shouldn't because you're on a diet, the next day you just start all over again. And the same thing with managing your cash flow. Have little successes every day. So understand what your financial picture looks like. Make sure you understand how you're spending. If you don't understand how you're spending, this is where you would start trying to track, maybe every day, whether it's a book, a spreadsheet, Mint.com, looking at what you're taking out of the bank, out of the ATM, trying to pay attention to those types of things. Start watching, start tracking, get an idea of what you're spending, and make better decisions. My husband and I were just debating an expenditure, him more than me. I would have said no right from the beginning, but I don't think it's, I'm not going to say what it was, but I don't think it was a necessary expenditure, something that would be nice, but not necessary. And it was going to be maybe $3,000. And I said to my husband, someday we would love to have a house near the water in Lake Michigan, near Lake Michigan, when we retire. We would love to have that. And we've started having that as a goal and working toward it. So when he asked me about this, I said to him, you know what? I would rather have that $3,000 go toward that house in Michigan we want to buy someday. And he said, okay, I get it. I see. And imagine if I have $3,000 today that I could spend on something that would be nice, but not necessary, versus that $3,000 going toward my long-term goal, which is the house in Michigan, which might not be for, you know, another 15 years, but I'm planning and I have this goal. That $3,000 today isn't just $3,000. That $3,000, and I wish I had my calculator, my HP12C, because I could tell you how much that $3,000 is going to be worth. $3,000 today in 15 years at maybe whatever, maybe 4%, 5%, 6%. That $3,000 in 15 years is going to be worth way more than $3,000. That's the idea of compounding. Remember, compounding not just on your investment, but compounding on really smart decisions. It could be contagious, you guys. I want to get this going. Lehigh Valley, we're going to all start compounding this intelligence that we have here in this mecca of universities and just really smart people. So let's compound good ideas. Let's compound our savings. Let's compound and reach our goals. All right. So lots of ideas. I hope tonight we're talking about cash flow. You can get a lifetime planning worksheet, which will help you with cash flow, will help you understanding your assets, your liabilities, your insurance. It's taking an inventory. The reason the insurance is on there is, remember, that's part of that financial planning elements I talk about. Risk management is one of those pieces. And you have to make sure that you're protecting those assets that you're trying to grow for those future goals. So you want to make sure you're protecting your assets being your livelihood, your person. So you want to make sure you have life insurance. You want to make sure you have disability insurance. You want to make sure you have homeowners and auto insurance, because you certainly want to protect the assets that you're are trying to grow. And you don't want to have any liabilities or lawsuits or things like that come and interfere with those goals that you have. So you want to make sure that you're managing the risk around those as well. So you want to have cash flow. You want to have a way to track it, management. You want to set up goals for yourself. That's the motivation to be disciplined enough to accumulate cash so that you're ahead of the game, not behind the game, as Warren Buffett says. You want to make sure you have an inventory of what your assets and liabilities are. You want to think about financial professionals who might be able to help you reach those goals if you don't understand them. Sometimes I have found that people are doing very well on their own, which is great, but sometimes just talking to a professional can amp it up a little bit, give you a little bit extra, you know, whoomp in your financial decisions, coming across a few good ideas. For example, some people want to save for college. Save it in a 529 might be a really good decision, especially for people in Pennsylvania, because you get an income tax deduction for that. That gives you a little bit extra oomph, a little bit extra towards your goal, helps you get there. So I hope that helped tonight, folks. The hour already went. I can't believe it, just when I was getting into it. We're going to close up the show very quickly here. Next week, I am not going to be here, and I hope that Rod Young will be able to come and host something, and I'm going to suggest to him that he do an element of financial planning, one of the elements, and if not Rod, hopefully someone else from the office will come in and do one of the financial planning elements, maybe retirement planning, maybe investment management. So we will post that on your financial choices.com, or if you're a member of WDIY, you can get your weekly email telling you what's coming up each week, and it will be announced there usually on Monday or Tuesday of the week. So you can watch for that as well. More information about becoming a member is at wdiy.org. We want you to stay tuned for Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. And I want to thank Jeff for being here, Judy Ann for being here, and Judy Ann for covering for me. And I will be back in 2 weeks. Folks, I'm so happy to be done with tax season. I'm just saying, have a great week. Remember, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.